Coming up, I'm going to tell you how to impress a hiring manager in 7.3 seconds. Then the hidden job market. What is it? How do you navigate it? And great news, U.S. job openings are still at very high levels. Let's go. Helping you win at work and in life. This is the Ken Colvin Show. More money, more meaning is my goal for you. So how do you impress a hiring manager in 7.4, who knows? I don't know what's going on. Well, this is data that's widely available, and I honestly think that the number is probably less than that. This is the amount of time that a hiring manager scans a resume. So picture this. And by the way, I don't even know if anybody prints these things out anymore. I'm old school, so I like paper. See, I like to do this. I like to hear it. And the team loves when I do that. You YouTube crazies really love it. The team doesn't love it, by the way. Joe hates it, but, you know, it's good for him. But let's say they're looking at your resume like this. Count to seven. Don't count fast. Just count normal. And this is what the data says that HR managers are doing when they look at your resume. 7.3, 7.4 seconds, whatever it is. And so to that end, I remember when I first saw that data, this was several years ago, I was like, whoa. I hate resumes because I challenge the process. I need to confess to you folks, if you're new to this program, why do I say things like I hate resumes? Well, first of all, I want to be honest with you. Two, I want you to catch what I'm really saying. I don't have any problem with the idea. I mean, with the actual thing. It's the idea that I hate. It's like, what? Like, I can give you a file of all my past work. Happy to do that. But for you to even make a first impression based on a piece of paper or a document, to me, is silly. It's ridiculous. That's why I hate the idea of a resume. I know you got to do them. We have one, kencolbert.com. It's free. It's a resume guide, free. Hundreds of thousands of people downloaded it. Go get it, kencolbert.com. But in that resume guide, we actually outline a new way of doing a resume. And so I'm going to walk you through some of those things. Because if you have 7.4 seconds to actually get their attention, okay, well, they're scanning, and you got to make them stop. The goal is to, for them to go, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, right? And that's what we're looking for. All right. Now, there's three things on that page, and I'm a fan of one page. If you just absolutely cannot do one page, fine. It's not a cardinal rule. It's just I just think it ought to be one page. All right. First thing, references and endorsements. On most resumes, references are towards the bottom, if not the very bottom, or on the next page. We flip that on my resume. And by the way, the Ken Colvin Show resume has done very, very well for people. Okay. We've had people get hired at public companies and they're like, I've never seen a resume like this before in your life. You better freaking believe you haven't. I'm Ken freaking Colvin, baby. I was like, this is wrong. Let's do our version. So that's why you haven't seen it. Like, I got no credibility. So before you think I'm getting all happy with myself and getting a big head, no, not at all. I'm not ever the smartest person in a room, ever. I'm never the most credentialed person in a room. I don't even have a degree outside of a high school diploma. I tell you what I do have. You know what I have in spades? I'll brag about this one. You know what I have, like, Federal Reserve warehouse gold of common sense. By the way, I've been noticing this, Alex, when we did our fall tour, and I haven't even told you this. The response in the lobby afterwards, I cannot tell you how many people told me, say, Ken, I listen to you every day, and I just love the common sense. And you know what? That's a compliment to me, because that's all I got is common sense. I'm not a big shot. I'm not the smartest guy. But I'll tell you this, when I saw this about resumes, I said, all right, let's create a alternate resume that just shocks hiring managers. So the first thing is we lead with And it's a big, bold heading. Who I know. Let me see. I don't have it right there. I was going to show you. Big, bold heading. Who I know. All right? And this is the first thing that they see. So what's in the who I know? Well, there are actual references. And we don't just say, here's the reference. I know Alex Chatfield and he's this, 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 this. No, no, no. I want Alex to write me an endorsement statement. And I tell everybody who Alex is and why he's credible. But then I want them to read some words from him endorsing me. That's what we're doing. Why? I hate that this is your first impression most of the time. I hate it. But if it's going to be the first impression, you better make it count. That's why we do it. So a resume without a relationship is worthless. I've said that 100,000 times. I'll say it again. It's worthless. So in this situation here, on this top section, you may not know somebody directly that works at the company, but I challenge you to look harder because you don't always need a direct relationship. Maybe you know somebody that knows somebody over there, and because of that somebody that connects you to is credible enough, they'll write you a great endorsement. Well, Ken, what if they don't? I'm so tired of people asking me, what if they don't? Why don't you just try what I teach? Because it works. Look harder. Any recommendation. Now, let me say this. If you can't find somebody, you have no connection at all, and you actually try, and you can find it, guess what? Somebody who is a reputable person in the industry, if they've got a legit title, they work at a legit company, and let's say they're in the engineering field and they give you an endorsement, well, that again is a first impression. Use that. Again, all of this is available to you in the resume guide, kencolman.com. Second thing is you want to lead with, the second thing you lead with is why you want to be there. These are the headings on the resume. Why you want to be there? Why is that next? Well, first I want to tell them who I know, because it's not what you know many times, it's who you know. You know this. But now I want to tell them why I want to be here. Boy, you want to talk about a first impression. Boom. Hit them with your knowledge of the industry or the company, your enthusiasm of the product or service or the results of the company. Draw a connection to what they do and what you value. Boom. You want to talk about a first impression, that'll do it. Third, how you can add value. Could you imagine? These are headlines on the resume. Who I know, why I want to be here, how I can add value. All right, then. I'm telling you, you're going, 1,000, 2. Huh? Okay. Huh. Never seen that before. By the way, this is a dramatization of what it's going to look like. Why you want to be here? Okay. How they can have a, hey, Fred, you got to come see this. You got to come see this resume. Now, that's what's going to happen. By the way, it's the first time I've ever done a live dramatization. But I really do believe, I'm having a little bit of fun with it, but I do believe that's what happens. I mean, if they see those headings and you have good information underneath, I'm telling you what happens. What is this designed to do? To get them to stop. And if you're getting ignored, you're probably getting overlooked. And so I want you to draw someone's attention so that you can't be ignored. Do you see the difference? Oh, that's good. Somebody ought to tell somebody to watch the show. You ought to share that first. You need to click share this to somebody who keeps getting ignored, because I'm going to tell you something. KenColeman.com. The free resume guide. It's a no-brainer. Go get it. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. So thrilled to have you here. I'm here to make you more money and to help you experience more meaning. Okay, couple of things I want to get to here as a man of the people, by the people, for the people. First is I want to cover the jobs thing. Then I want to get to the hidden job market. Okay, that's what we're doing. Okay. Hi, how you doing? Good to see you. This is still more good news, and I want to counterbalance a lot of the sky is falling crap that you folks have to deal with every day. From the job report, this is fascinating, the October job report. U.S. job openings dropped in October, but still remain high. You're not kidding. So there were 10.7 million job openings in September, And in October, 10.3 million. This is staggering. And this new data that I've become aware of that's just keeping me up at night, and I'm developing content. And Alex, I got more content on this. But there are 7 million working men, or 7 million, they ain't working, 7 million working age men, 25 to 55, that are opting out of the workforce. Not because of medical issues or, I'm telling you, they are able-bodied working men, and they're choosing not to work. And it's killing our society. It's causing a big problem. Now, here's why I'm bringing this up. All right, let's take the 10.3 million jobs that are available right now as of end of October. If 7 million men came back into the workforce and all of a sudden that number goes down to 3 million jobs, you're going to see good things happen in the economy. Small businesses grow. You're going to see inflation cool a little bit because there's not going to be all this crazy demand, this musical chairs, which is still happening, by the way. Can you believe this? Who would have thought that the Great Resignation continues to happen? The number of people quitting their jobs did slip in October, but this is almost ludicrous what I'm about to say. It slipped from 4.1 million people who left their jobs in September to 4.1 million people who left their job in October. You want to know why? I was on KCMO, one of our affiliates in Kansas City, Pete Mundo, the fabulous Pete Mundo in the morning. He hadn't heard anybody tell him this, and he's a smart guy. I said, Pete, you know why inflation is still stubborn? The singular reason that inflation is still stubborn is because of that right there. 4 more million people quit their jobs in October. And you know what they quit to? Better pay. Which means that salaries and hourly wages are still high and continuing to climb, which means companies are passing the cost on to you, the consumer. Joe, how much inflation have you seen in your Burger King combo?
About 20%.
Man loves him some Burger King, by the way. But you know, it's real. I think the reason I asked Joe that question is because that hits us where we are. You hear economists talk about inflation, all this kind of stuff. You go, wait a second. My groceries cost more. My combo meals cost more. Holy moly, everything's up. Well, why? Cost of labor. Okay, it's called wage pressures. All right. So, here are the areas we'll move on from this where jobs did drop, but again, it was so minimal. You saw open jobs drop in construction, manufacturing, professional services, specifically in architecture and engineering. But that's a slowdown in building, is what that is. And that's because of the interest rates. Your feckless Fed chair. You can thank Jerome for that. Thank you, Jerome. Appreciate that. Appreciate you artificially trying to hurt the economy, you bonehead. By the way, I'm a little convicted, Alex. I'll have to talk to you about this off air, but our pastor on Sunday spoke about honoring people and how we need to honor people more. And I got a little convicted because I'm not honoring Jerome Powell. I feel like I honor people. I really do. But I thought to myself, I'm listening to the message. I'm going, maybe I should honor Jerome Powell. And no, I can't. All right. I got that off my chest. All right. How about the hidden job market? This is fascinating stuff. What is the hidden job market? Very simple. Jobs that are available but aren't listed. Jobs that are open, but they're not posting them. Okay. So there's a variety of reasons why a company will not post a job opening. Okay. One could be they're trying to discreetly replace someone. If they post the person's job and they haven't been let go, right? So that's one thing. Another thing could be that they don't feel like they have an internal hire that is a good hire. And so they want to hire from outside, but they don't want to post it and hurt morale more than they need to. I mean, these are reasons. Another reason is there are now increasingly more laws about pay transparency. And so one of the ways around this with companies, because by the way, I don't think companies should ever post pay. I don't think they should post it. I think it's stupid. Just stupid. It creates all kinds of psychology issues, and I've gone off about that on the show before. But If it's mandated, so what are companies going to do? Companies do what companies do. You know what they do? They innovate. So they go, all right, screw you, government. Right? Like the old man Anthony Hopkins plays in Legends of the Fall. Scrum, he says, you know? So the companies are like, all right, fine. We'll find the job through word of mouth. So that's why. Okay? So that's the hidden job market. How do you find the hidden jobs? I know you're asking, and I'm going to answer. This is, by the way, some of the data in here is from Forbes.com. But listen, we start with recruiters. Companies that have opening positions, and they've got headhunters looking for people. They may not post it, but the recruiter knows. I've always said that recruiting is a great tool. Great arrow to have in your batch of arrows. Okay? Always, because they've got relationships, they got connections, they got needs that you may not be aware of. So having a recruiter is great. But what about just good old-fashioned shaking your tree? Let's say you know 200 people. Well, it is reasonable to believe that each of those 200 people know 200 people. So now all of a sudden you do the math on that and you have access to 40,000 people, social media. Got to be careful if you're not ready to leave where you are. You got to be careful. You're not going to go on social media and blast that. But what if you went to social media and you said, okay, oh yeah, I remember Alex. He's got some connections in this part of the world. I'm going to contact him. Okay, great. So don't post it. Hey, I'm looking to leave my job and I'm looking for this, this, and this. And then somebody tells your boss and then I'm reporting about you, making fun of you on the Ken Coleman Show. We don't want to do that. But we do want to shake the tree. Okay, what do we know? Who do we know? And you have access to so many people. Okay, here's another one, another way. I know Ramsey Solutions, we're really maniacal about our own team trying to help us get people in here. So we look for referrals all the time, right? So that means, as a practice, if I'm at a cocktail party this holiday season, and somebody tells me they want to work at Ramsey Solutions, I go, okay, what are you interested in? They tell me, and I go, fantastic. Hang on. I'll send an email. I drop by HR. I do. I go, hey, this is a great person. I don't know if they're the right fit for the job, the best fit. I mean, that's part of the process. But let me tell you this. I know this. I can vouch for them. They're a great person. Well, let me just tell you what happens in our HR department when I do that or any other team member at Ramsey Solutions. When we do that, you know what they do? They go, all right, stat, top of the list. It's happened many times here. I've gotten people hired here. Well, let me step back. I didn't get them hired. My point is I've said, hey, I think they're a good person. So employee referrals. So, you know, I could go to somebody and go, listen, they haven't applied for a position, but let me tell you about this person. They may create a position for you. They may be aware of a position that I'm not even aware of, HR. But I go over to them and I go, hey, let me tell you about my pal. So that's how we find the hidden jobs. And I'm telling you, that ought to be the way you're going anyway. This is good advice for finding hidden jobs, but it's also just good advice for getting a job. So there you go. All right. We got more show coming up. I'm just getting started. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Hey, if you're enjoying the program, would you do me a huge favor? You're the number one marketing strategy in the world. Word of mouth. Would you give us a rating and then would you share with somebody? Just a click and a link and that's all. That would be huge. Thank you so much. Let's go to Becca in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Becca, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
I'm living the dream, Becca. What's going on?
All right. So I am 29 years old, and I've worked as the general manager for my in-law's business for the last 10 years. However, my mother-in-law and I don't see eye to eye on a lot of business decisions, so it's beginning really hard to work there. My husband and I have always had plans of taking over someday, but currently my father-in-law isn't really interested in any future planning nor does he have any intentions of stepping back anytime soon. So I just don't really know anymore if there's a future for me there at the company. And so I've kind of been looking at possibly leaving to pursue something else. So I guess my question is today, how do I know, you know, do I stay, do I go? And how do I know that I'm not romanticizing either of those options?
Well, let me give you the quick answers, then we need to dig a little bit. You stay until you know where to go. So that's mm-hmm. that's one thing that I know for sure, no matter what the details of this are. And I don't think you're romanticizing the current situation. If you asked me, if I heard you, Craig, you said, am I romanticizing either one? Well, I don't think you're romanticizing your current situation in that it's the desire of your heart. You want to grow. You want to run the company. You want to be in it. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's just real. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's nothing. That's not romantic. That's just your heart. So I think you definitely are right to be calling me to say, all right, where should I be looking? How should I be looking? How do I verify it? That's where our conversation needs to be, because I think that it's going to be a long time, if ever, for you to have the shot that you want. And the longer it takes within this family business for them to communicate some clarity,
mm-hmm.
The more you resent them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd rather you disappoint them than resent them. And disappointment means you're going to leave. I feel like that deal's already done. Am I right?
I feel like I've been kind of halfway out the door for a while now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's my point. Someone who's halfway out the door for a while is frustrated as crap.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, life's too short. We're not doing that anymore. So where do we want to go? What do we want to do? Because I think you know.
I mean, that's kind of the hard part, I think. If I could just choose tomorrow and pick something, it would be flipping houses. But something like that takes a lot of capital to get started with.
Yeah. Okay, wait a second. Right. Let's act like I'm a moron. Because, you know, I'm okay. Probably only one level above a moron. So it's not going to be too much of an acting job. All right?
Okay.
We're going to flip the Ken Coleman show. All right, Becca, so you're the host. I'm the caller. Can we do that? You cool with that?
Sure.
Okay, great. Becca. I've only got about $10,000 to my name. I eventually want to get into flipping houses. I'm pretty good. You know, I kind of understand all that stuff. I'm pretty good at that. The reno, the deco, the whatever. I can swing a hammer. By the way, mm-hmm. This is acting. And so what? How would I work my way up to where I had about $100,000 to be able to buy a little fixer upper? How would I, but I wanted to stay in that world. What would you recommend to me?
I mean, logistically, my head says invest the money so you can grow the money, but I feel like that takes too long as
yeah.
well.
No, so, I can't do that. I got to actually go make cash. What do you think I should do? I'm pretty handy. I'm good at construction, and I'm good at that kind of stuff. Well, give me some ideas, Becca. What would I do? I'm clueless. I'm an idiot.
Start small. I don't know. Start with some side jobs, some side hustles maybe. See if you can start flipping some smaller stuff. And
like what? Like what? I'm a complete idiot. Like what would I do? Give me a small project where I could make $2,000 or $3,000.
Oh gosh, I don't know.
I'm a moron, but I'm kind of thinking like if I fix a bathroom up for somebody, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like one room type flips.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's a good idea. That's a good idea. And then, so how much could I make on one of those flips? Ballpark.
I mean, it depends. If I go more from the design perspective, like more like a interior designer, it's going to be a lot less. It's probably going to be anywhere from 500 to 800. But if I go more on like the full on like construction and design side, I would say 1500 to 2000.
Okay. All right. So how many realistic jobs could I get like that maybe in my first 6 months to a year? I mean, I'm a complete idiot, so I don't even know.
I'll just say maybe 4 to 6.
Okay, so I might be able to, in the first year, make how much?
Maybe $15,000, $20,000.
Okay, all right. And then, but I would have fun, yeah? Because I like doing that stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, I would have fun. Okay, good. And I would be able to stack up some money, and you never know what's going to lead to. I mean, I'm guessing I could find, I could go for the small jobs, but I never know. I might land a $30,000 job, right, where I make that much. It's reasonable to believe because I'm doing good work for all these other people. Is that right? I'm sorry for the dumb questions, but
No, yeah, that's right. And that's kind of thing I was also like considering too, is like, if I want to go into this area that I'm passionate about, like, do I go more from like the interior designer perspective and do more of like the one room or couple of rooms, or help people
both and
transform their spaces
both,
you know, do that as I kind of stay in my current position until I can get to where I want to be.
Yay. Well, Becca, you went from host to guest again, and you did it beautifully.
Sorry.
No, you get what I'm doing here.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
I just decided today I'm not going to give advice on this call because you actually know better than I do.
Okay.
And you did a wonderful job advising me, the moron. It was wonderful. You were very good. Very good. The guys in the control room loved it. They're like, oh, she's giving good answers. Okay, Becca, we stopped thinking about how many years it's going to take, because you didn't even, that's the wrong question. So we played this stupid exercise out where I acted like an idiot. And what you started to do is you started to make a case, and we started to realize, wait a second, I could make 20, 30, 40,000 in 1 year, maybe more if I just kind of stumble into something because I'm in the right place and the right time happens. And I can do some design on some projects, maybe only pocket 1,000 here. But I go GC another, you know, basement renovation in Grand Rapids, Michigan. You know they're there. And you do this, you know, you stack it up. Then all of a sudden, guess what? We look up, and only 2.5, 3 years later, by the way, you're enjoying yourself, and you could stay in that job with the family and just put yourself on, you know what? I'm going to do a good job. I'm not worried about long term there, but it's a stable job, and I'm working for family. And I'm focused on saving every nickel I can over here. And I get to $100,000, and I go buy a $85,000 one-bedroom house in some little area of, you know what I'm saying here? And I get my first house. I think you start the flipping business today. But I think what flipping is we're going to reno first. And then there's coming a day where all those reno jobs that I did underneath the bucket of my flipping business, all that reno work gives me the experience I need. So when it comes time to actually flip, I can pay cash, and I got all kinds of experience, and I don't lose my shirt in my first flip. You see where my head is at?
Yeah, I love that. That was laid out really nice.
Well, thank you very much. But I'm just telling you, you start the flipping business today. We're not going to flip anything for a while. But what we are going to do is get someone else to pay us to learn everything there is to know about reno and design. So when the time comes that we buy our own project, we're experienced. And we got cash. And then you flip that first one, and guess what you do? You turn flipping that profit up and flip in the next one. And what we're going to do is we're going to flip 2, 3, or 4, one at a time, cash only, and you're just going to keep stacking cash. Then the day's coming where you're flush, right? Or maybe you go, well, I'm going to keep 2 of these babies. Instead of flipping them, I'm decided to turn these into rentals because I own them cash. You got options, baby. And like options are great. All right? So start using the proximity principle in order to do what you want to do. Becca, get around people that are doing it and in places where it is happening. Start connecting with people in Grand Rapids that are experienced flippers. Have some coffee with them. Take them to lunch. Learn what they learn. You can go ahead and start doing that now. Get a master's degree in how to flip. And then start, looking for small projects. Talk to everybody. You know, hey, guess what? I've just decided to become a general contractor. You know what I mean? Get the licensing. Do whatever you got to do. Just go start helping somebody finish a bathroom. Pocket $500. If that's it, that's fine. It's called starting small and growing slow. All right, folks, you matter. You have what it takes. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.